The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff Rinaldo is joining me live this morning, former Buffalo Police captain, now with Vista Security Group. Jeff, good morning. A couple of carjackings and crashes in a 24-hour period. It was pretty chaotic, Sunday night into Monday night. It led to two deaths, one in Buffalo, one in the city of Tonawanda, a 14-year-old driver and a 40-year-old pedestrian. Both of these were high-speed incidents. Both involved stolen vehicles. Awful endings to both. Is there a police policy on pursuits, whether it's the Buffalo Police or do you know of any other department that have policies on pursuits and chases?
Good morning, Susan. Well, yes, every single police department has a pursuit policy, and they're different, right, depending on the municipality, the location, and different departments allow pursuits for different reasons. I can obviously only speak to Buffalo's, which is that there is a no pursuit policy unless you are chasing a violent felony suspect, somebody that poses an extreme danger to society. So traditionally, for somebody that failed to stop at a stop sign, you're not going to engage in a prolonged police pursuit if that's the only offense. Based on what Commissioner Grimalia stated yesterday, it sounds like this was never even a pursuit. This was an individual who was just driving at a very high rate of speed, was noticed by a police vehicle that's going to begin to follow and potentially at some point attempt to stop the vehicle, but it sounds like they never got that opportunity.
Yeah, you know, the speeds is such a big factor here, right? I mean, is that maybe the overriding factor?
Well, anytime, regardless of what your departmental policy is regarding your ability to pursue a vehicle, you still have a duty to provide some care in that pursuit, meaning that you are assessing the traffic conditions, you're assessing the weather, you're assessing the time of day, you're assessing the location. You know, we do not want to see police pursuits through school zones when kids are arriving to school, nor would we want to see them when there's dense traffic or the road conditions are horribly snowy or rainy or foggy. So all of those factors go into determining whether or not a pursuit should be continued or engaged in the first place.
In the chase in Buffalo involving that 14-year-old driver, Grimalia had said the vehicle was considerably ahead of the police car that spotted it, but the police car never had its emergency lights on. The police car went looking for the vehicle. The lights eventually came on. What would cause a delay in turning on those emergency lights?
Well, again, if the police vehicle is not even in a pursuit mode or is not even in proximity to that vehicle, generally what they're doing is attempting to locate the car. You're driving up the street, another car is coming towards you or passes you at 80 miles an hour on a city street. They're gone in the blink of an eye. So that police vehicle more than likely was just attempting to locate where that vehicle might have went. And by the time that they see it, it sounds like it was just too late. They probably came upon it close to or right seconds before the crash.
You know, this was another Hyundai that was stolen. How and when does this end? It's seemingly always Hyundais and Kias.
It's absolutely tragic. I mean, number one, you have a 14-year-old kid who is dead as a result of just, you know, a really, really bad decision. But it has to come to an end. People have to take it serious about making sure that their cars are locked. people have to take it serious to make sure that if they have one of these vehicles and they have not had a solution to having the vehicle stolen by the dealership, that they're doing everything they can to ensure that these cars cannot be easily stolen, because we're seeing dozens and dozens of these deaths related to these stolen Hyundais and Kias.
You know, in the Hamburg chase, I mean, that started in the South Towns, ended in the city of Tonawanda. And that was a wild one, again, involving stolen vehicle, high speed. Is there a possibility, could there have been, of deploying those spikes in the road?
Different departments utilize them. I can't speak to whether or not any of the agencies involved in that chase have them. But yet again, they are a dangerous proposition. We saw what happened to Officer Troy Blackchief in Cheektowaga. He was nearly killed trying to deploy spike strips with a stolen car with juveniles in it. They unfortunately put the officers still at some risk having to get out into the roadway and deploy those. So decisions like that, there's all these different technology solutions out there, but each one requires a certain set of conditions for them to be deployed successfully and safely.
Yeah. In that case, the driver crashed, got out of his vehicle multiple times and attempted to steal more vehicles. You wonder how he had that much time to do that. Does it speak, though, to the difficulty of communicating between departments in situations like this?
To a certain extent, yes. Traditionally, every police department does not have the ability to talk to the other police department. They have to do that through their dispatch, so there is a lag somewhat in communication. What will be interesting to see in the aftermath report from that case will be, you know, was the individual high on something? It sounded like this was a person hell-bent on just running from the police and committing felonies along the way. So, you know, you have to always balance in these situations. We can't have a policy that one size fits all that says you just won't chase any car for any time.
Sure.
So if you commit a crime, just jump in a car and the police have to let you get away. There is an obligation here to enforce the law and to ensure that we do everything we can to, you know, bring criminals to justice. But again, there's always going to be circumstances, unfortunately, like what we saw with that chase, where innocent people sometimes are injured or killed as a result of these things. So it's trying to develop that balance of, you know, how do we safely mitigate these situations, but yet also don't have a policy where criminals can run free?
How much of a role does video play in these investigations, whether it's dash cam or just surveillance video?
They play a vital role, quite honestly. What Vermalia said yesterday was city surveillance cameras were able to start to put together the picture of, okay, where and how long had this individual been driving at a high rate of speed and recklessly? And, you know, it takes days and days to gather all the different video sources, but it puts together a picture. It shows you that this wasn't somebody that just stepped on the gas for 100 feet and suddenly there's a police pursuit. This is an individual that was driving recklessly through that area of North Buffalo for quite some time. Same thing with the chase from the South Towns. You're going to see them looking for video for days and days, if not weeks, because it's going to put together the picture of not only the pursuit, but also all the other crimes this individual may have committed along that way.
Well, Jeff, thanks for helping us understand the police perspective on these two cases. We appreciate it.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.